surprised I know.
Somebody is guided by a master plan for complete domination of the Earth.
I hope you will like it.
It is Paranormal Hotline time. That is what is on now. So hello, Paranormal Hotline is a weekly podcast where we deliver to you, the listener, some strange stories of peculiar predicaments, odd occurrences, and terrifying tales, of which some may be tall. My name is Oisin, and I'm joined by my co-ghost, Kaylee.
Hello!
Kaylee, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm flying it. I had maybe the strongest coffee that I can remember.
Oh.
Not too long ago, so I am...
Oh.
Yeah.
That's unusual for you. You're not a coffee man at all.
Nope, I had some work to do, so I was like, right, time to make the brain go, and I'm paying for it now.
You had some good old go-go juice.
That was it, and like, I know it's probably placebo, but more or less, as soon as I had the cup drank, I was like, ah yes, time is moving differently now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. I was getting palpitations, I still might have some palpitations, so bear with me. I'm flying it.
Well, it's good you're flying it. Because this is a UFO story, isn't it?
Yep.
You're
this
up
is a
there,
UFO story.
You're up there between the spacecrafts, flying around.
Yep, I'm up there. The stratosphere is where I am. Do you remember the Winterfell Festival that we just had in December?
Yes, the Christmas Festival. I do.
The Christmas Festival. So one of the things that was going on in town was like a light show. I didn't like attend it or see it, but I saw it from afar. So
yes.
Like, I'd be driving towards the city and I could see these huge beams of light kind of just lighting up the clouds, and I had no idea what was going on, and I eventually found out that there was these spotlights shooting up these beams, and I could just see the lights in the clouds.
Yeah, it did look like something from War of the Worlds. Alright,
so whatever, found out there's a light show going on that explains these lights. This was not the case in Phoenix, Arizona, on more than one occasion, it turns out.
More than one occasion? Whoa, okay.
Yes.
I know a lot less about this case than I thought I did.
We'll get to it, but essentially it's happened over a series of years. But the brunt of it, the most of it, is in 1997. So we'll get into that now. The first and largest occurrence of the lights over Phoenix occurred way back in 1997. So I'm starting to feel old, just thinking that, you know, that's the past now.
That's way mad. That's way back in the past. You were just a wee baba.
I was a baba. If the aliens met me, they could have killed me.
That's true. I think they could still kill you now, but yeah.
Probably. I just mean if they were trying to look after me.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
I think this is like the most reported viewing of a UAP or a UFO or like lights in the sky.
Really?
Thousands of people reported seeing it.
Wow, that's cool.
It could be broken up into sort of two incidents, as it seems that like there's two descriptions of what happens, like two separate activities. One of them is a moving shape or like a formation of lights in the sky, and then another is a stationary set of lights sort of hovering and then disappearing one by one. So this has made the actual classification of the whole thing kind of difficult. As it goes, the year is 1997. It's the 17th of March. In the sky, something that everyone is expecting to see is the comet Hale-Bopp. It's going to be passing the Earth, and it's the ideal time for viewing it. So people are already outside and they're looking up with the intention of seeing this comet.
Okay, so that explains why so many people were watching the skies that night.
Yeah, and we'll get into it, but essentially it happened at two different times, sort of between 8 and 10. So if you saw it around 8, you were kind of, oh, what's going on? So you're more on the eyes on the sky anyway. But people were definitely out with the intention of seeing this comet to begin with. I'm going to go off on a tangent now, just a warning, because the comet, Hale-Bopp, or C/1995-01, as it's known to its friends. It was discovered in 1995 by Alan Bopp and Thomas Hale. It spurred off its own UFO claims in 1997. A guy called Chuck Schrammeck. He was like an amateur astrologer. He processed an image of the comet that he took, and it had like a fuzzy, slightly elongated object nearby the comet in his picture. It sounds kind of like a smudge to me, but anyway. He processes the image in his night viewing program on his computer, and the strange object doesn't get registered as anything. So he sends it to Art Bell at Coast to Coast AM.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So he's like, I've discovered a Saturn-like something. It's following Hale-Bopp. And then from there, there's a bit of drama. Less amateur, more professional astronomers, including Alan Hale. So one of the guys who discovered the comet go,
yeah,
nah, it's just a star in the background. Your user preferences in the computer program are whack.
Oh, okay.
that star.
Well, that solves it.
Yeah, so they recognize that star as SIO141894, by the way.
Ah, yes, obviously.
Oh, yeah, yeah, as we know.
Yeah.
But then there's a whole thing of Art Bell claiming to have sent another image from an astronomer who wanted to remain anonymous, confirming the discovery of the object.
When your first port of call is Coast to Coast FM, I think you're kind of skewed in that direction already. You know, if you don't immediately submit it to like other astronomers and stuff first, you know.
Kinda, yeah. It really depends what direction you come from these things, and we will see this maybe. That some people start off their investigation with an idea that they want to achieve already, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A bias.
And that's the way with a lot of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
When you're on the fringe of science or the fringe of the known.
Sure.
Unfortunately. This image that Art Bell claims, a couple of astronomers from the University of Hawaii, they claim that it's actually an image that they had taken of the comet, which had been doctored. So all the regular fun from the scientific community.
Oh my God. Because if you didn't know what it was, it's like, okay, that's bad enough that you're not reporting it accurately. But if you just straight up doctored it, excommunicated. Send him to the comet.
So I was doing research and I was like, oh, UFO related to this comet. And then I was like, why does the name Hale-Bopp, like, why am I remembering that? And I was thinking, where have I read it before? It's all a bit familiar. Then I read that it's the same comet that the Heaven's Gate cult were all about.
Oh, no way. Seriously?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. What? That's insane. Yeah.
The Heaven's Gate cult, they believed that there was a spaceship trailing Comet Hale-Bopp.
And that it was going to pick them up, wasn't it?
It was going to pick them up and it was going to bring their souls to the next level of existence.
Like the magic school bus.
Yeah, kind of like the magic school bus. The process of teleporting yourself on board was via suicide. So at the comet's closest approach in March 1997, 39 members of the Heaven's Gate cult took their own lives.
God.
So that's immensely fucked up.
That's
nuts. This is a tragic tangent.
They left some members behind, and their website is still up and running as well.
It's still going, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You can email
crazy.
Them. You can get resources from them.
Imagine being the person who got left behind. Like, I know obviously it's a good thing rationally, but imagine if you believed it all and they were like, no, you gotta stay while the rest of us go on the comet.
Yeah. I mean, it was weird. They called, like, the guys heading off, they called them the away team, like in Star Trek.
Good God, man. What?
Also relating to the comet, there is a woman named Nancy Leader who had claimed to receive messages from aliens from a brain implant that claimed that Comet Hale-Bopp was an invention to cover up the emergence or the arrival of a planet named Nibiru, or Planet X, and its approach was going to mess up Earth's rotation or something and end life on the planet.
Okay. All right. Jesus Christ.
So, yeah, so the comet had a lot, you know.
There's a lot going on with that comet, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder what was in the water that year that everyone was like, this comet is doing some funny shit. Because there's a lot of comets, like.
Yeah, 1997, great year for comets.
Great year for the Hale-Bopp or whatever it was called.
Yeah, yeah, Hale-Bopp.
It's not called Hale-Bopp.
Oh. Hale-Bopp, yeah, that's the name of the two guys that discovered it.
How can that be a name? How can your name be a bop?
B-O-P-P.
You said pee-pee.
I know. But yeah, so whatever. Her account was one of these ones like, oh, the end of the world is coming, you know, doomsayer stuff. And originally it was all meant to end on like 2003. And then conspiracy sites kept on like running with it and updating the date as, you know, she's been debunked so many times. Yeah. Also, we're still here. So like, that's proof.
Yeah.
Anyway. That's the end of my tangent. Back to the actual case at hand. The comet cometh close, so people look skyward. An article from USA Today from the following months gives coverage and quotes. The incident over Arizona was the most dramatic I've seen, says Peter Davenport of the National UFO Reporting Center in Seattle, Washington. He brands most UFO reports hogwash, but not this one. What we have here, he says with conviction, is the real thing. They are here. Arizona authorities routinely refer UFO reports to Davenport's office. The first call that Thursday night came in at 8:16 p.m. from a retired police officer in Paulden, 60 miles north of Phoenix. He reported a cluster of five lights headed south. Less than 2 minutes later, a call arrived from Prescott, 15 miles south of Paulden. The second report described one red and four white lights. So, lights in the sky, it's kind of been verified by a second independent viewer. The Paulden call said it was headed south, and then the next call is from the town to the south, with a very similar description of five lights. It seems that those two calls were the calm before the storm, because 1 minute after that, Davenport's phones exploded with calls from a succession of cities. Wickenburg, Glendale, Phoenix, Scottsdale, Tampa. Police department phones were jammed, Callers flood the lines to Luke Air Force Base and media outlets.
Man, that's crazy. Is that like a trail, like it was going over cities in a line?
Kind of. If you look at the, like, that mightn't be the actual list. The map is bizarre.
Yeah.
It just, the map just looks like one big city because of how suburbs have grown.
Yeah, that's true. Nuts. Because I don't think I would call the police if I saw something like that in the sky. I just assume that they would laugh at me.
Well, they would here.
Yeah, well, they would. I assume they would in the States as well, you know? I imagine how many people saw it and didn't call, you know?
Absolutely. If you're enjoying the podcast, you can help it out. We have a Patreon, and that's a way to directly support the podcast. A little money does go a long way to help us put out an episode every week, and you will get access to our Discord, where we are always chatting and posting stuff about and in between episodes. That's over at www.patreon.com/paranormalhotline. We are on social media, and if you are too, you should consider following us there. On Instagram, we are Paranormal Hotline, and that's where we post pictures from our adventures and investigations. On Twitter, we are Paranormal HL, and that's a good place to get in touch with us. Finally, you can help us out
for free
by rating the podcast wherever you listen to it. Don't forget to subscribe if you want to get it as soon as it comes out each week. So, a lot of the names here, there are cities around Phoenix, but it's referred to the Phoenix Lights because Phoenix is the biggest city on the map. Again, I was looking at the map. It's all just grey. It looks like a mega city.
I'm fairly certain Phoenix is just the largest one that it was seen at.
Looking at it, it seems like towns have been incorporated. I don't know how America works. So I presume it's like the space in between has been like concrete.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's confusing, all right. It's like London.
Yeah. So like, you know, London has like London and London is part of London. But then there's also like, you know,
Other bits.
Tune in next week for another rant on town planning by Oisin.
From an Irish culture who has only ever seen fields.
It's just a grid. You scroll in and it's a grid. So the article continues. The event lasted 106 minutes. Some callers said they saw orbs in the sky. Others saw triangles. By far the most common description, and the one captured on videotapes, is that of a V-shaped object. Now, from what I've seen, the lights in the sky are in some sort of chevron or V formation, kind of in the pictures that you see. And definitely, like, in magazine pictures, where they're like, oh, here's what it could have been. Like, that's very much the artist's rendition, based on what a lot of the reports were. They could be individual lights, or lights along some massive object in the sky. So, if you want to look at those...
Oh, man, so it's like more lights appearing as they're recording.
Yeah.
Ah, that's so creepy looking. They're just, like, appearing. That's terrifying looking. It's really just odd looking.
Most of the footage sounds that it's from... kind of the second more stationary viewing where like people were ready for it at that point, so there's a lot more kind of report of footage from then.
Yeah,
most of the counts kind of put it that this big thing moved overhead and then later on they saw sort of it again, kind of very stationary.
Yeah, so it kind of like stopped over Arizona, did it?
Kind of, yeah, in the distance it seems.
So, I meant to say it stopped over Phoenix.
Over Phoenix, yes. Again, from the article, it had seven lights, three on each prong of the V and a seventh trailing light, set apart from the others. Occasionally, some of the lights blinked out. Witnesses generally agree on three things. First, it was enormous. The most conservative estimate describes it as 3 football fields long. A computer analysis of the tapes puts it at 6,000 feet, or more than a mile. What do you make of that, Kayleigh?
That's insanely huge.
If it's one big craft, like over a mile long, you know, that...
Yeah.
What?
Because honestly, I was thinking, I was looking at the footage and I was like, could that be like a test of some sort of thing that the American military is working on or something? But I don't think they could keep something that big up in the air. Well, I hope anyway.
Like a super Zeppelin or something.
Yeah, it would have to be absolutely massive. But to hold it in place like that without making any noise... I don't think it would be possible.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah. So, I mean, it can range definitely depending on, you know, if they're analysing, you know, images, it depends how far away from the image you are and like, you know, do you have a frame of reference if it's just in the sky?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, we don't know if there was actually a physical craft there or not. It could just be a bunch of small ones that are all lined up.
Absolutely. So, it could be singular ones kind of in formation.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because... on one hand, I'm thinking, oh, hey, if it's an interstellar craft, it makes sense to be huge because it doesn't make sense to be, you know, zooming around from star to star with not a lot of stuff. It makes sense to be transporting a lot, like if you're going to go to the bother.
Like the Red Dwarf.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a massive, massive ship. Basically a planet, nearly.
Because, like, if you're going to be transporting yourself across the galaxy, you might as well bring everything with you.
Yeah. Makes sense.
On the other hand, anything of that size, if like came from orbit and entered our atmosphere and like our higher gravity, it would spell disaster for everything involved.
Yes. Yes.
Like, you know, atmospheric entry from orbit, like you'd probably set fire to the atmosphere if it was that big.
Yeah, but that's only if you're using like the physics of a plane or something like that. You know, if you're using alien spacecraft physics, they don't use gravity, really. <Yeah. laughs>
If it is extraterrestrial and highly advanced, which supposedly, it probably would be in most cases, if it got here, you know, if it is from out there and it arrived and it's that big, probably we can discount those issues. Like, I love the idea of a huge spacecraft, you know? I like the idea of, like, this big thing, it's like a city in space.
If they offered you, like, citizenship, would you go?
I don't know.
That sounded, like, really, like it hurt you.
You're digging up something for me here now, because like at a young age, you know, whatever, I was like, oh yeah, cool, space and all that, and like we had a CD of like songs from the Muppets, and like one of them was like, I'd like to visit the moon.
Oh my god.
And like his whole thing is like, I'd like to visit the moon, but I don't think I'd stay up there very long because I get lonely and want to come home. So you know,
so you don't want to get lonely on the moon. That's fair.
No, I don't want to get lonely on the moon.
I do.
Well, power to you, Kaylee.
Yeah.
It's a big spaceship by comparison to, like, the space shuttle. But that said, the space shuttle isn't all that small. And, like, the International Space Station, that's pretty big. It's one whole American football field big. Hang on now. Sorry. I don't know why or when football fields became the unit of describing size.
I was going to say it's American, but it's international.
But, like, okay, so whatever this is over Phoenix, if it's multiple lights or one big thing, it's 3 football field long. I'm presuming it's American football fields?
Yeah, I assume so, like from American football.
I always found it confusing because like we have Gaelic football and then, you know, soccer football.
Yeah.
And now I have to worry about American football.
Yeah, this is a lot of footballs.
What gets me is it's meant to be something that's easy to picture.
It's easy to picture for Americans.
You're not the target audience
for that unit of measurement.
No, okay, I appreciate that. My rant is somewhat null and void. The second thing that most witnesses agree on is that it made no sound.
That I don't like. That's terrifying.
It is spooky. And it's interesting to me. Because unless it's a far-off jet flying, you know, you see it going across the sky off the horizon, you can normally hear planes overhead when they're low. Even small planes.
Even like a helicopter, like micro lights, just like holding its position. Like.
Yeah. Thirdly, it was reckoned to be moving slowly. The article goes, it moved slowly over Phoenix, cruising at 30 miles per hour. Sometimes it hovered in place in the sky. If it is relatively low overhead and appearing to fly at 30 miles per hour, or each element of it is, if you want to say it's several detached lights, that's not any airplane that I know of. 30 miles per hour is far too slow to remain in the air.
Yeah.
Especially if it's stopping from time to time to hover, which is what it says it does sometimes. That's like helicopters.
Yeah, that's weird.
And they're noisy, especially at that low altitude.
Yes, very noisy. That's nuts, man. Could you imagine if people were seeing that today? Imagine the footage we'd have of it.
Yeah.
Considering there was so much footage of it back in like the 90s when you had to run and grab a video recorder. You'd had to have one to begin with, which most people didn't, and then whip it out and try to record this thing at night.
Yeah, I mean, and we can zoom quite well on our phones now as well.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be a great advertisement for the iPhone.
Film not an iPhone. One witness account is from Dana Valentine, age 31. He was a laser printer technician. Side note, I can't deal with printers, especially on networks. I work in IT and it eludes me. It's witchcraft. Anyway, Dana puts the lights at 500 feet directly overhead and describes it. We could see the outline of a mass behind the lights.
Oh.
But you couldn't actually see the mass.
Oh, don't like that.
It was more like a grey distortion of the night sky. Wavy. I don't know exactly what it was, but it's not a technology the public has heard of before.
Invisibility cloak.
Maybe, who knows? That's 152 meters in altitude. That's tall building territory, like 50 stories up. It's low enough to be hearing helicopters or planes.
Yeah.
So local pilots who are flying in the area, they have like a visual contact on the lights, and they contact the air traffic control to identify them. The ATCs could see the lights, but they were not showing up on radar. Bill Grava, who had been a pilot and controller for 12 years, I was in the terror that night at Sky Harbor International Airport, said, I still don't know what to think, and I have no idea what it was. Something military, I guess. About the whole pilot identification thing, bit of info on that. In 2017, in an interview on the BBC, I think it was to promote Guardians of the Galaxy 2, actor Kurt Russell
Oh my God.
Claims what? That he was the first pilot to call into control and report the UFO.
What?
You know, like, so like Kurt Russell from The Thing, film The Thing, not just a thing I've forgotten the name of. He was flying his son to see his girlfriend.
Wow.
His son was going to see his girlfriend and he was flying him there. I presume that's something you can do in America because, you know, you have a pilot's license and the place is big and you want to avoid traffic or something.
Lots of airports.
In the interview, he says, I was flying my son to see his girlfriend and we were on approach. I saw six lights over the airport in absolute uniform in a V shape. Oliver said to me, I was just looking at him. I was coming in, we're maybe half a mile out. And Oliver said, Pa, what are those lights? Then I kind of came out of my reverie and said, I don't know what they are. He said, are we okay here? I said, yeah, I'm going to call it in. And I reported it. So in the BBC interview, he goes on, he's like saying he forgot about the whole situation after that until someone had it on TV, like a thing about UFOs and it's talked about this case in particular, and he remembered it and he checked it in his logbooks and it was there.
Oh my God. Man, if that happened to me, I would never stop talking about it. I don't know how he forgot about it. No, it's just an alien, you know?
So I don't know. I thought it was a bit funny. It's like, oh hey, Kurt Russell is here.
Why didn't he save us, huh?
Yeah, I mean,
he should have had a dog fight with them.
I would put my money on Kurt Russell.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Imagine if he got abducted, though. We'd never hear the end of it.
Another witness, Tim Fay, described the formation of lights. It was astonishing and a little frightening. It was so big and strange. You couldn't actually see the object. All you could see was the outline, as though there was something blotting out the stars. It sort of reminds me of an episode of Star Trek where they couldn't detect a spaceship because it, you know, had cloaking or something.
Yeah.
So instead they set their sensors to detect like the absence of the regular makeup of space.
That's weird, man.
So then it showed up like, oh, hey, there's this blank spot where that thing is meant to be.
It's like how people can see where when things have been photoshopped because of it, things look too perfect and there's like not enough. It's too uniform. It's weird.
Yeah, so that just reminded me. But Tim describes the lights. They weren't bulbs. They looked like gas.
Oh.
There was also a distortion of the surface.
If you say it's swamp gas, I swear to God.
I'm not going to say it's swamp gas, don't worry.
I'm not going to say it's swamp gas.
No, I think it's too high up for swamp gas.
Yeah, I don't think there's much swamps in Phoenix.
Also, the light didn't spill out or shine. I've never seen a light like that. According to the USA Today article, Michael Tanner and Jim DeLasotta analyzed the videos taken by witnesses. They were two of four partner owners of Village Labs, a company that designs supercomputers for the federal government, and they also design computerized special effects for Hollywood. In their spare time, they were analysts of UFO tapes. In comparing the lights in the sky to the other usual lights in the skyline, they said that they found that the skylights were unique. It was perfectly uniform, with no variation in one edge to the other, and no glow. They ruled out lasers, flares, holograms, and aircraft lights as sources. Personally, my jury is out on that kind of stuff because you can only get so much from a camcorder recording.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not like a scientific instrument.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's like when you are looking at the moon.
Yeah.
And you can see it in like such perfect detail with your eyes and then you go take a picture and it looks terrible. It'll be so hard to tell from the picture what it looked like, you know?
Yeah, so like if you have your computer and, you know, you're comparing this speck of light to that speck of light in an image.
There's so much variation, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, but like, because it's just an image on a computer, it's broken into pixels, and a pixel is essentially just like the values of brightness for the different colors. So like, that's all you could compare. It's not like a spectrogram of like what makes up that light.
Yeah, there's not even like, the footage is not the best, you know? If it was really good footage, it would be a bit easier, but it's so hard to, it'd be so hard to tell.
Like a camcorder doesn't cover like the infrared spectrum, like, you know, so like that's where a lot of that information would be. And like, you know, even then, like you get like these things where we can like point a thing at a star and see what the star is made up of because of the color it's burning that we can't see, but a special camera can.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but that's not a camcorder.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I say that because I read a little bit more about DeSoto and he seems weird with all that sort of stuff. In an account in the Phoenix New Times, there was an article called The Hack and the Quack. They were talking about someone else as well. I don't know who's who. It had him saying that like music is a form of electromagnetic energy, which it's not. And they were getting all this extra info from the recordings. But like I was saying, video, when processed on a computer, is just like a series of values of brightness for pixels.
Yeah.
So I don't think you get any special information from that. All you can see is like, well, that's not as bright as that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
The local government received hundreds of calls looking for an official investigation following it, but they did not provide one. Frances Barwood was a local councilwoman in Phoenix, and she led a lobby to try get one. A spokesperson for the mayor, Skip Rimza, said, "We have no air force. It is way beyond our resources to chase lights in the sky. We pick up trash. Call the governor."
Oh my God.
When someone called into the governor, Fife Symington's weekly radio program, the governor said it was the first he had heard about it.
What? There's no way.
Barwood wrote to Senator John McCain, and he referred the situation to the US Air Force, who then closed the case, saying it would do nothing.
Yeah, sounds about right.
At the time, the US government, they were saying, oh, we don't get involved in UFOs. And that was like their official stance since like 1969 when they closed Project Blue Book. So in 1997, the governor came out with like a denial or shutdown of the lights sort of thing. He had like one of his aides dressed as an alien to spoof the situation. So it's like, hey guys, yep, we captured an alien. Here he is. And like, it's just his guy dressed in a costume.
I've seen that video. Goes, it is quite funny, to be fair.
I sent you the picture there because it's, you know, it's classic.
That's a pretty cool alien costume. I
know, it's
one.
Pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, this guy's probably had that costume and was so excited to do this.
let me do it, Mayor. Put me on. And he said, this just goes to show you guys are entirely too serious.
Oh my God, like...
There's a but to this. In 2007, coming up on the anniversary, he came out and like 180'd and he said he believes it to have been an alien spacecraft. And he said, I'm a pilot and I know just about every machine that flies. It was bigger than anything I've ever seen. It remains a great mystery. Other people saw it. Responsible people. I don't know why people would ridicule it.
Oh my God, like he was the person who ridiculed it in the first place.
I know, yeah, yeah.
Wow. I'm sure if he's a pilot, he has like loads of pilot friends who probably saw it as well.
Yeah.
So
he used to be a captain in the Air Force.
Oh my God.
In another interview, he said the craft he saw was enormous. He said, it just felt otherworldly. In your gut, you could tell it was otherworldly.
Oh wait, he saw it now.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So he actually did see the craft. Oh my God, that makes it so much worse.
Yeah, no, he was like, oh, I didn't want to cause, like, add to the commotion. I didn't want, you know, I wanted to keep it.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep things not hysteric.
Dickhead.
Yeah. An NBC article about like him 180ing and saying all that has like a skeptic's response, and it says about it goes, Tucson astronomer and retired Air Force pilot James McGaha said he investigated two sightings over Phoenix that March night and traced them both to AE-10 aircraft flying in formation at high altitude. It was clearly aircraft in formation flying at two different times and then dropping flares. It's clear to any rational person that's what it was, Mr. McGaha said. McGaha said Symington is not a trained observer and what he feels in his gut doesn't make any difference. What does the military say in their cover-up? I mean explanation. I'm kidding, I'm on the fence, to be honest with you. Operation Snowbird, a training program being performed by the Air National Guard out of Davis Monthan Air Force Base in Tucson, Arizona.
Will we ever stop with the What We Do in the Shadows references?
Never.
No.
From my cold, dead hands, you can take them. So this is what James McGaha had tracked. Long story short, the military say the flying triangle, or the shape, was five A-10 Warthogs flying in formation. They were flying in their assigned air traffic corridor, and the usual rules for aircraft with their lights, they don't apply to military craft,
yeah.
Which is why that their lights were on the whole time and they weren't flashing. Because they were using like formation lights as opposed to anti-collision lights.
Yeah, but like they stopped in the air, right?
Yeah, that formation would have flown from Phoenix to Tucson. The second phenomena, which is what you're saying, the hovering lights, is explained by them dropping flares. So more A-10s out of Davis Monthan Air Base as part of the same training exercise drop flares. They say that they would have been parachute flares and they would have hovered because the heat from the flare kind of creates a hot air balloon effect in the parachute. So their descent, instead of just kind of falling on a parachute, they sort of hover. And then they say that the fact that they were kind of winking out, disappearing, was the flares falling behind a mountain range to the southwest.
Nah, I don't buy that for a second. It doesn't look like flares. It doesn't look like parachutes. They're literally sitting still. And some of them flicker on, like, in formation, one after the other, in a line. It's not like, you know, it's not like any of them were falling faster than the other ones. Like, they weren't moving at all, you know?
That's why I said explanation slash cover-up.
That's bizarre, though. I don't know why they would cover that up.
Yeah. A comparison was made on, like, TV programs since then for the type of flares that had been used by the A-10 Warthogs at that time. They determined that the flares would have been at least bright enough to be seen in Phoenix at a range of 50 to 70 miles where they were allegedly dropped. That kind of covers 1997. In 2007, so again, 10 years later, lights were again observed in the sky and reported by a local Fox News TV station on the 6th of February.
I'd never heard of this before. This is cool.
I have an image here. You know, it is a very grainy image.
Oh my God. What? That is so hard to see.
No. So, like, there's four dots.
Yeah.
This was explained as more flares being dropped at the gunnery range as part of training flights.
Okay. Why are they dropping so many flares over the city?
See, this is a different sort of case. They're just seeing lights in the sky. The lights aren't directly overhead in this case.
Oh, okay.
Calling into a radio station, KTAR, David in New River, who said he is a Defense Department contractor, said, "Those were no flares. They were stationary. They didn't move one bit. They were four lights that started out in a pyramid shape. I got it all on film." So I can't find his video, unfortunately. It could be where that image is from. But another caller's reply is, "I really hate to bring this to a halt for you, but the flares are dropped from airplanes and tied together. They light the ground as bright as a police helicopter." Can you imagine, like, a back and forth just, like, burning the ear off Joe Duffy with arguments about flares?
Yeah.
Just rigging into live line.
The flares are tied together.
From the KTAR article, I got this quote regarding a pilot who believes the military's explanation. Arv Schultz, president of the Arizona Pilots Association, is a retired commercial airline pilot who used to fly passengers over western Arizona while working for Hughes Air West. He said the flares were a common sight. "We would fly at night from Phoenix to Yuma. We'd see the people out at the Luke Gunnery Range at Gila Bend, and we'd see the flares out there because that's how they light up the bombing range, so that they can drop their bombs at night." Schultz didn't see last night's events, but did see the infamous Phoenix lights in 1997. He believes those were also caused by flares. Yeah. The next year, in 2008, there was more lights in the sky.
Good God, man.
On the 12th of April, four red lights could be seen. A resident of Phoenix claims that it was a hoax done by his neighbor tying flares to helium balloons. A police helicopter saw it up close and was like, "Yep, that checks out."
That's hilarious. I mean, he's a dickhead, but that's hilarious. Because I was just thinking, you know, like, because it's in a V formation. I was like, what would, like, you know those dog collars that light up? So your dog, like, if your dog, at night. What if somebody just got those and put them on, like, birds, and then the birds migrated?
Yeah.
You'd have the Phoenix lights.
You'd have the Phoenix lights.
Yeah.
So to wrap all of this up, there are lights in the sky in Phoenix, Arizona. What do you make of Annie or all of that?
I mean, thousands of people saw them. It wasn't just over Phoenix. It was in other places in Arizona. Like, it was moving across the sky.
Yes.
So even if they did just drop flares, they wouldn't have been seen in all those other places. Like you said, people only see them within a 50-mile radius. But, like, so many people saw this thing moving across the sky.
Yes.
So I think there was something there, man. I don't know what, but I think these people saw something weird. Not just flares or helium balloons. Though I do love that. That's funny. But yeah. Awful. But funny.
Yeah. My breakdown of it is, like, year by year. I don't trust the American military.
Right.
1997, I think it's potential UFO.
Yes.
Definitely an unidentified flying object. I don't think it was a large craft.
You think it was several small craft?
I think it was several small craft.
What about the guy who said he could see, like, night sky, but different behind it? You just think he was, like, imagining it, or?
I don't think there was, I couldn't see any of that in this. I know the videos are less quality.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're saying that they can see through it. I think there would be much more of an evidence if it was a huge craft.
Yeah.
You know, just displacement of the air. Even if it's moving at, like, if it's huge and it's moving at, like, 30 miles per hour, that's going to affect everything.
Yeah, I don't know if it would, though. And we don't know how the physics work on it, so. But, no, I think you could be on something, though. It could.
I think it's smaller craft anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a fan of the, "Oh, we analyzed this video on our computers."
Yeah.
That's kind of silly. If you want to, like, go with the military excuse or something, you know, I think it's a cover-up for maybe something military. If it is something big, I think it's more likely to be from Earth. Probably not, like, a mile wide, but, you know, it could be, like, a large blimp. But that's more unlikely. I think it's smaller things.
Yeah.
2007. It's only a small kind of formation by the look of it. It's not moving on a grand scale. You know, it's not moving from one town to the next. I think it could just be flares.
Yeah.
Especially if it's over like their bombing range.
Yeah, yeah.
And then 2008, I genuinely think it's some guy with helium balloons. I have no doubt of that happening at this point.
Yeah, I mean, with the history of and everything, I can picture somebody doing that.
Yeah, it's just like, it's Arizona man, you know?
It's like Florida man, but Arizona man.
Yeah. There was also like no need for like a huge cover up or anything. You know, no one made a huge deal out of it, and that makes me think less about it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Unless, of course, that's what they want me to think.
Ooh.
Ooh. The one thing I can say for 100% sure is if you want to see some lights in the sky, Arizona seems like a good bet.
It's the good place to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're a man who's actually seen a UFO, so I feel like you're more inclined to believe sightings of them now, right?
Yeah. Like, you know, oh, hey, they're just imagining something in the sky. Oh, you're just imagining that light in the sky. No, like, I genuinely saw something with my own two eyes, and my girlfriend also saw it. So I know she's not mad.
Well, she's dating you, so she could be mad. Sorry. Yeah. Everyone's going to be messaging, like emailing the podcast, like, please stop bullying Oisin.
It's okay. I sign up for this.
Yeah, I love this case. I think it's so cool. And they're just the fact that so many people saw it. I wish I could have seen it with my own eyes. It's so cool.
That's it. Like, I was the same, like, looking at the footage that I can find, looking at the pictures I can find, and, like, even, like, artist renditions and stuff based on the accounts is, like, dang, I wish I could have been there to see it. Because if I was there, I definitely would have seen it.
Is the Hale-Bopp comet ever going to come back around?
No. Well, no? It will, but like in thousands of years' time.
Oh, okay. Sometimes they come back around like regularly for like a couple of years and then they fly.
No, as far as I know, I think it's like 4,000 years.
Okay, damn. Gotta wait another 4,000 years.
Yep.
I'm gonna keep an eye out for the next comet, though, whenever that is.
Do.
Maybe I'll see some extraterrestrials.
Yeah, perhaps. That's all we have time for this week. If you like the podcast, suggest us to your friends and family, and we would appreciate that. If you have any personal ghost stories that you'd like us to read on the podcast, send them in to us at paranormalhotlinepodcast@gmail.com. Or if you have any stories that you'd like us to cover, send us an email or shoot us a message on any of our socials, and we'll get back to you on it. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.